Will you pray with me, please? Father, as we come into this space today, you know each of us. You know the journey that we've been on this week, this month, this year, for the last 10 years, for a very long time. And Lord, you know the things that are ahead of us in the journey, though we may not know, Lord, you know, and you're in control. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that we can fall into your loving arms, and you will be there for us. Father, we gather here to hear not from me, but from you, from your Holy Spirit, that would speak to us, Lord, that would help us know that it is okay not to be okay. And Lord, you know that I am not okay. So Father, I pray for your strength and your words, that you would speak through me and despite me. I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified, that you would be magnified this day. I pray, Lord, that you'd open our hearts and our ears to your truth. And Lord, it wouldn't just be something we hear, but it would be something that we do. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said. Amen. So if you were going to go, let's say, walk down the street and kind of do an interview and go up to people and ask them this very simple question: what is the most well-known verse in the Bible? And you wouldn't know who you are asking. So you might be asking Christ followers, you might be asking people who have never been to church, you may ask people who go to church once in a while, or maybe you ask people who go to church on Christmas and Easter. So you would have no idea who you were asking. But if you went up and you said to people, what is the most well-known verse in the Bible? Not that they could recite it to you, but just that they would know what one popular verse of the Bible is. What do you think that verse would be? You got it, John 3:16, right? We see it at football games. We see it in the public square. We see John 3:16 everywhere. It is a signature verse of the Bible. For it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is the most well-known verse in the Bible. It summarizes so much of the Bible. Now, there is the most well-known verse, but then there's the most used verse. And I think that there is another verse that is used more in our culture, in our society today, by Christians, of course, but by non-Christians, by people who don't follow Jesus Christ. And that is Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is probably the most applied, the most used. You see it on greeting cards. You see it in a lot of places. It's accepted by people, even in kind of the secular vernacular, that this one is okay. And I think Psalm 23 is so important and so powerful that if we understand it the right way, and sometimes we don't always understand it the right way, and if we apply it the right way, it can really help us know that it is okay not to be okay. We've been going through a sermon series with that title, It's Okay Not to Be Okay. We want to address mental health. We want to address what the Bible speaks to when it comes to mental health. And we want to strongly encourage you that if you are struggling with your mental health, please seek out a professional. Even if you think you might be struggling with your mental health, seek out a professional. Our goal here is to show how God speaks to the point and says it is okay not to be okay. So I'm going to read Psalm 23. Many of you may know it, and if you want to recite along with me, you are welcome to, but it says this: the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One of the things that all of us would love to avoid is fear. Now, I know that horror movies are very popular, and a lot of people love to go watch horror movies, but you know that it's just a movie. But fear is something that none of us want. You don't want to have that feeling of fear in your life, whether it's your own personal fear or whether that's fear for those that you love or fear for your community or fear for something. Nobody wants to have that feeling of fear, and yet we cannot escape it in life. Fear is a part of life. The question is, where do we go when we are filled with fear? That's why Psalm 23 is really the go-to psalm of the 150 psalms for me when it comes to fear. Because fear is something that we all deal with, and Psalm 23 addresses that. The author of this psalm is David. And we can learn a lot about how to handle those moments of fear from what David writes here. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that's really important that we stop right there, right at the beginning. David is saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." And David is showing this personal, intimate relationship with God. Because he says, "You're my Lord. You're Lord over my circumstances. You're Lord over my heart. You're Lord over my fears. You're Lord over my family. You're Lord over my future. You're Lord over my past. You are Lord over all things." So David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that word Lord, that word shepherd, it shows the intimacy. And it's more intimate than that. The Lord is my king, the Lord is my deliverer, all of which God is. But there's an intimacy here that David is showing, that when he's filled with fear, he has that personal relationship with God. Now, when David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," shepherd would be a really interesting choice. Shepherd was not a well-thought-of position. They were not well-thought-of people. Shepherds always had to be with their flocks. 24 hours a day, the shepherds were with the sheep, feeding the sheep, getting the sheep something to drink, guiding the sheep, protecting the sheep, always with the sheep, 24 hours a day, never leaving the side of the sheep. That was the job of the shepherd, and it was not thought of to be very good. So when David is saying, "The Lord is my shepherd," he's also saying, "And I'm a sheep." David says, "I need constant care. I need constant protection. I need constant guiding. I need constant feeding. I need constant attention." Because life can be filled with fearful moments. And what David is saying is, "I need my shepherd." I don't know about you, but I need my shepherd. I need my shepherd, especially in those moments when I am filled with fear. When I am not okay, and that's okay, David is reminding us, who's your shepherd? When you're not okay, when you're filled with fear, you can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And it reminds me of when Moses was at the burning bush with God, and Moses says, "Who should I tell them you are?" And he says, "I am who I am." And that means that God is eternal, God is sovereign, God has always been, God will always be, and God is always with us. So David is saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. He is with me now. He is timeless. He is forever. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me." And in those moments when I am not okay, that's okay because my shepherd is here. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," which is an interesting thing to say, that if he is saying, "I'm a sheep, but yet I shall not want," and sheeps are the most needy animals, and they're also not the brightest animals in the world. I'm not trying to say that you guys, and I'm not bright, because you guys are all very bright, but there are times that we are more like sheep than we want to admit. Did you know that a sheep will not lay down unless it is not afraid? Now, there's some other factors too, but a primary attribute is a sheep will only lay down when it doesn't feel afraid. And when sheep lay down, they typically try to find kind of like a little ditch to lay in. And so they go, and they kind of lay on their side for a minute. Well, then, being sheep, they roll on their back. And then their little feet are all up in the air, right? And so their center of gravity has changed. And guess what? They're stuck. There they are on their back and they're stuck and they can't move. Well, then the circulation that goes to their feet stops. So now they can't feel their feet. And if something doesn't change, they're going to die because they're on their back, their feet are in the air, and their center of gravity has changed, and they have no ability to move, to roll, to change their circumstances. So whom does the sheep need? The shepherd. Have you ever felt like a sheep in that moment? You ever felt like you've lost your center of gravity? Kind of lost your ability to roll, to change your circumstances, to change the momentum of your life? And you can say, man, I'm not okay here. And what David reminds us is that's okay, because I shall not want, because the shepherd is with me. The shepherd will take care of me. You know, there are so many things that can fill us with fear. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm fearful of my past. I know who I am, and more importantly, God knows who I am, who I was. I can be fearful of what's happening right now, and I can be really fearful of what I don't know is going to happen down the road. And that fear can somewhat paralyze us, but one of the things that I feel that this text and many others tell us is this, is that God forgives our past. We often don't forget our past, but God forgives our past. He is in control of our present. He knows the future, and he will lead us to a place of peace and away from fearfulness. See, when we follow the shepherd, the sheep are safe. When we are filled with fear, and fear is real, and fear can be paralyzing, and fear can be crippling, and that's okay. But when we follow the shepherd, he will lead us to a place of peace. And David says, he leads me to green pastures. He leads me to quiet waters. He restores my soul. Do you know that God is at this very same time shepherd of the entire flock and of each of us individually? God is never too busy to shepherd you and to shepherd me away from fear into a place of peace. When I was up with my father, that's one of the things he was unconscious, but I knew he could hear. And I said, just follow the shepherd. Wherever the shepherd is going to lead you, follow the shepherd, because you'll never go wrong when you follow the shepherd. And the shepherd has led him to a place of green pastures. The shepherd has led him to a quiet place. The shepherd has led him away from fear. The shepherd can lead us to a place of fellowship. And when David says that the shepherd will restore our souls, that means there's a restoration of us physically, there's a restoration of us emotionally, and there's a restoration of us mentally. That when we follow the shepherd, he will lead us to a place of restoration and calm and quietness and away from the fear that can surround us and that can consume us in every possible way. It says that he will lead us to righteousness of his name. Do you know the closer we get to God, the further we get from fear? The closer we get to God, the further we get from fear. And so what David was saying is, Lord, lead me closer to you, because that is further away from that which brings me fear. Look, it's okay not to be okay and to say, look, I struggle with fear of the past, the present, the future. I struggle with fear of how I'm going to work through this or how I'm going to do this. That's okay. So what God is saying here in Psalm 23 is, I am with you. I am your shepherd. I will get you when you're in the ditch. I will lead you away from fear. Now, some people understand that, well, if I follow the shepherd, then that should mean I never have problems. I never should feel fearful again because I'm following God. And so many people who follow God and then find themselves in a very difficult place say, well, why would God allow this to happen? Where's God when I'm staring down a difficult situation? He's right there with us. If you look at verse 4, David says, even though I walk through the darkest valley. Notice David doesn't say, I'm so glad God took away the dark valleys. I'm so glad that God never lets me be filled with fear again. That's not how it works. We all have moments of fearfulness. And David is saying here, look, I don't get to avoid the dark valley. So we are going to have dark valleys that we have to walk through. And those dark valleys can fill us with fear. But David says this, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. That David is saying, even though I'm walking into and I've got to walk through the hardest situation that I could ever imagine, that I'm in a dark valley, literally or figuratively. See, if you're talking literally, if you walk through a literal valley, I want you to think about being out a valley somewhere out in the mountains, and you can't see what may be out there. Maybe it's an animal, maybe it's a bunch of robbers, I don't know. But what you can't see creates fear. That's exactly how horror movies are successful, if you think about it. They create an atmosphere of fear by what you can't see. And so what David is saying here, he says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Now, why can David say that? Because you're with me. Because the shepherd is with him. See, when we understand that we don't have to walk through those dark valleys alone, the shepherd is with us. The shepherd is with us, and not only is he with us, it says, your rod and your staff. Those were instruments of protection, instruments of guidance. See, your rod and your staff, it could protect you and guide you. When my dad was still able to walk, he had a cane. And he was able to use that cane to make sure that he had his balance and that if anything was coming his way, like his children or his grandchildren, he could just whack them if he wanted to. But God will guide us. God will protect us. Look, I don't want to go through any valleys. I don't want to go through dark valleys. I don't know anybody that wants to go through dark valleys. But we will have to go through them. And we have to understand that God is with us. We have to understand it's okay not to be okay. It's okay to say, I'm scared. I'm scared of how we're going to transition into this new season of life. I'm scared on how's this going to work out. What Psalm 23 is saying is the shepherd is with you. The shepherd is for you. It's okay to have fearful moments. That's normal. That's part of life. But I think we want to make sure that we don't live an entire life that is filled with fear. And I think getting professional help is so important. And I think knowing that the shepherd is with us is so important. And so I just want to outline this first part here very quickly. So when we say the Lord is my shepherd, that translates to me that he will provide and protect. Because that's what shepherds do. Shepherds provide and protect. When you say the Lord is my shepherd, you're saying God's going to provide for me and protect for me. When you say he makes me lie down in green pastures, God's going to get me to a better place. I'm filled with fear where I am, but I know my shepherd, wherever he takes me, it's going to be a better place. He leads me beside still waters. There's something powerful in being calm, isn't there? To be someplace where it's calm and quiet. That's what God does. He restores my soul. He takes us from a position of fear to a position of faith. And he leads me to righteousness. The closer we are to God, the further we are from fear. Psalm 23 reminds us that it's okay not to be okay, and that when you're in the valley, that the shepherd will go with you. Now, when you look at verse 5, there's a bit of a transition here. David's been talking about how the Lord is his shepherd, and the Lord is his shepherd, but in verse 5, we see David describing God as his host, and this host has invited him to dinner. And if you look at the progression of king, redeemer, shepherd, host, it gets more and more personal. It gets more and more intimate. And what David is saying is that God is close to me, that God is with me in these moments when I'm not okay and I am filled with fear. And so we start to see this image that David is describing God as, and I think it's a very healthy image for us to see God as. He is our shepherd, but he also is our host. And God is preparing a meal for us. Just as Jesus prepared a meal with his disciples in that upper room, what it is, a host gives invitations. When Christ had the Last Supper, it was an invitation. So what we have here is a host being very invitational. We see the scene shifting from David being outside near a dark valley to now being inside at a banquet that he was invited to and that God was preparing. But not only is God preparing this banquet, he's doing it in the presence of David's enemies. So David is obviously feeling a great deal of fear. He is surrounded by fear on every side. In the midst of that fear, God says, "How'd you like to go to dinner?" And so the Lord starts to prepare a meal. And when David uses that word enemies, maybe in your mind, something popped up. What is it that is your enemy that causes you fear? For a lot of people, it's change. For a lot of us, it's loss. For a lot of us, it's what's the future hold? For some, it's I can't believe my past. For others, it's how are we going to get through this next minute, this next hour, this next day? Every one of us probably defines enemies as that thing that produces fear in our life. And yet God is saying, in the midst of all of your enemies, I'm going to plop down a table and you and I are going to have a meal together. Understand, in the ancient Near East, a meal could sometimes be construed as a covenant, is this bond that two people were having. And so God is saying to David, you and I, we're in this together. And we're going to have a meal together. And when you understand that in the midst of fear that God is not only your shepherd, but God is your host, your enemies can do nothing to stop you from having that time with God. Your enemies can do nothing to stop you from enjoying that meal with God. And now it is our enemies who are dealing with the fear of our fellowship with God. Our fellowship, our relationship with God, that being surrounded, that we're just sitting there and we're having a meal. But it's even more than a meal. See, God doesn't just say, hey, I want you to come over for dinner. God says, I'm going to anoint your head with oil. And when your head was anointed with oil, it was saying you are going to be prosperous. It was a blessing. So God doesn't just say, come over for dinner. God says, I want to bless you. In the midst of being filled with fear, in the midst of not being okay, and David was not okay, he could say, man, God is my shepherd and he's leading me. And now he's inviting me, and now he's blessing me, and we know how it goes on, that the cup overflows, right? When the cup overflows now, we get upset, especially when our kids pour too much into their drink. We're like, come on. But can you imagine having our cup overflow from God's blessings? Be like, keep it coming. Keep it coming. And that's what God is saying here. That in the midst of fear, when we're all struggling with that, God says, not only am I your shepherd, but I'm your host, and I'm the host that's going to have a meal right in front of your enemies. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to anoint you. Basically, what God is saying is, there is nothing too good that God won't give you. That God says, I know you're filled with fear, but I'm going to fill you with faith. I'm going to fill you with comfort. I'm going to fill you with peace because I am here and I'm guiding you. And when you're feeling like legs up in the air because you're in a ditch like a sheep, I'm going to be the one that turns you over and I'm going to lead you to this amazing meal. See, what God will say to our enemies when we sit down at a table with him is, this one belongs to me. This is my sheep right here. And you won't be able to put fear into them anymore. Because what the shepherd host has done is he prepares a meal that he has with him. He prepares this meal in the presence of his enemies. He anoints their head with oil. He blesses them so much their cup overflows. And this is the part I don't want you to miss, because I feel like what David does here is he reveals the core characteristics of God. And he says, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And when you think of the core characteristics of a loving God, it is his goodness and it is his mercy. Because the goodness of God will always be with us. The mercy of God. Mercy means that you deserve a punishment for something, and the one who can give you that punishment decides not to give you that punishment. That is mercy. And that will follow us all the days of our life. I don't know about you, but I sometimes feel like fear follows me. I can take my fear from my house to my car to the ministry center. I can bring my fear right here in front of you. I feel like fear can follow me. But there's a great song called Fear is a Liar. It's a great song. Fear is a liar, but the goodness and the mercy of God are not. And they follow me. Imagine the goodness and mercy of God will follow you everywhere you go. If you're a parent or a grandparent, you remember when your kids were really, really little, right? Those were such great times. And they literally would follow you everywhere you went. Like, you could not be outside of your presence, right? And then they become teenagers and they don't even acknowledge you when you walk by them, right? But goodness and mercy never leave our side. They're strapped right onto our leg. And no matter where you go, no matter what you experience, God's goodness and mercy are with you. When you're standing there having to walk through a dark valley, you've got goodness and you've got mercy, and they're right with you because they follow you. It's one of the things I told my dad. I said, follow the shepherd. Goodness and mercy have been with you, and they will always be with you. And now he's experiencing the goodness and the mercy as he is in the one place that every sheep longs to be, in the loving arms of the shepherd. Because there's no safer place. We have safety in the arms of the shepherd because we are the sheep. My dad has that safety now because he's in the arms of the sheep. Because what David says here, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Last summer when we went to see my family, we wanted to go to a Phillies game. And Christy, who, by the way, I've never seen her look more radiant than she looks today. I don't know. There's something about her that is extra beautiful today. Maybe I'm biased in that. I don't know. And so we wanted to go to a Phillies game, and we wanted to stay downtown. And Christy has a lifelong friend, Val, just a wonderful, wonderful lady, who works for a very nice upscale hotel that has one downtown Philadelphia. So we said, maybe we can reach out to Val. Maybe she can get us a little bit of a discount, something, because it's right there in the city and it would be easier than going back and forth from New Jersey. So Val says, yeah, I'll take care of it. So we get to the hotel, and it's a beautiful, beautiful hotel. And we get there, and they, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Ryan, it's good to have you here. And, you know, we had a bell person come over, and they kind of loaded the bags and get in the hotel or get in the elevator. And we start to go up, and we're like, okay, we didn't stop at 2 and 3. Like, man, we keep going up. Like, what's going on? So then we get up to like the 14th floor or something. I'm like, what in the world is this? So then we go, and the bellman opens the door. We're like, well, what are we going? There's like a door here and a door here in the hallway. We go in, and he opens it up, and it is the presidential suite of one of the nicest hotels in downtown Philadelphia. I mean, marble. I mean, TVs everywhere. They had a TV in the bathroom where the hot tub was. I am sitting in a hot tub and I am watching TV, and I said, Lord, I'm glad to be in heaven. I don't know how it happened, but I know I'm in heaven now because it's in Philly and this is what I'm doing right now. So there's all this there, and then we go and we look on this, like, you know, 18 person seat table, and there on the chairs are Philly's t-shirts. I'm like, this is insane. And then there's like candy and there's all this stuff. And like Selah had her own room, like with a locked door. It was like a suite. And Levi had his own room, and there was like a mini fridge that was in there. I thought, this is going to cost me a fortune. It was all free. It was all free. Like, we literally cried when we had to check out. Like, we did not want to leave. Maybe if we just stayed, they wouldn't notice. We never wanted to leave because it was amazing. And as awesome as that was, it's nothing compared to heaven. David says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David said, you know what? I may be filled with fear in the moment, but I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I'm never going to want to leave. I never wanted to leave that hotel. But I knew I had to. My dad will never have to leave heaven. He will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He had moments of fear. There was some fear going into the surgery, but he was ready. Either way, he looked at it, he was going to win. He was either going to go home with my family or he was going to go home with Jesus. And now he's home with Jesus and he dwells in the house of the Lord forever. But it wasn't that there wasn't fear. It was he knew that the shepherd was with him. So I want to encourage you, as I hope this text has, as it continues to encourage me. When you're filled with those moments of fear, walk with the shepherd. Follow the shepherd. He'll lead you to green pastures. He'll lead you beside still waters. He's invited you to a banquet. He's prepared a meal. He will bless you. He will anoint you, and your cup will overflow. Goodness and mercy are going to follow you everywhere you go, like two little kids tugging on your leg, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. As our worship team comes back up, three things just to think about. Remember, if you are filled with fear, your shepherd will provide and protect you. Whatever you're going through, whatever your enemy is, whatever is causing you fear, your shepherd will protect you. Remember, if you need calm and restoration, follow the shepherd. The closer you get to God, the further you get from fear. Remember, if you are in a dark valley, the Lord is with you. He's with you. I can't encourage you strongly enough that if you are not okay, that's okay. It is okay not to be okay. And I want to encourage you strongly, if you are not seeking professional help, I would encourage you to do so. I'd encourage you to do so. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I'm not okay, and I need support, and I need help. And know that the shepherd host loves you so much, and he will protect you. Amen?